My name is Birdie, and I'm a medium. That means I can communicate with spirits, amongst other things. I started seeing spirits before I can even remember. I grew up feeling cursed, but now I am taking control of my abilities.
My name is Robert, and I'm an energy worker. That means I'm in tune with the flow of energies that surround us. I'm immersing myself in the paranormal to discover where my path will take me.
Welcome to our Spirit Diaries. Hello, and welcome to the Spirit Diaries. My name is Birdie.
And mine's Robert.
And this is the last story episode. I'm just letting you go. Well, that is it. So,
you forgot about second verse.
There is no second verse. Stop.
There is now.
Oh, man. So, the story is coming to a close. And things at this point, I want to say they didn't stop being as frequent or often. I think they just became a lot more mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing spirits became the huge. And it wasn't as shocking as those first moments were. No longer was I upset or crying in the corner, freaking out.
Even alarmed.
I had seen something. Yeah, I mean, it just became a very... Oh, there's this person here. This is what they want. This is who they belong to. This is how, this is all they want to do. And I mean, it was just very, oh, there's a guy on the side of the road. Oh, he died there. He died from a car crash on this day. Go home and Google it. Yep, that's right. Okay, move on. So, I mean, it became a very run-of-the-mill thing. To where, like I said, the stories didn't really stop. There's just nothing notable I can really think to tell you all that is so different than the rest mm-hmm. that I was encountering for the very first time.
Right.
But still have a few stories. So we're just going to jump straight into it. But before we do, I just want to say a quick thank you for listening. Thank you for being here for this story. And I really hope you enjoy the wrap up of this.
Yeah.
So I still had these silver cords attached to people from me. I called them strings, and I had no idea what cords were. So I could feel people at the end of these strings like a tether. And these tethers gave me psychic information about these people, whether that be I feel what they feel, I see what they're seeing. And it was very overwhelming because I had strings to so many people in my life, so many people that I didn't even talk to some of the people for years, and I still freaking felt them. So it was really strange. One of the most notable stories about the cords happened to where I just kept feeling my brother, and I was feeling him, and I seen his name be spiritually written on the wall in our room, and I kept just getting contact him, and we don't talk that frequently, so, you know, there wasn't really anything I needed to talk to him about, so I wasn't going to necessarily call out of the blue, especially, he knows I'm a medium, but, you know, it's still a strange thing, especially with family, mm-hmm. to bring up, just because they've really watched this all unfold, and I think a lot of them still are like, oh my god, you're so creepy. So, it's been a little weird to navigate it with them at this point in time, So I was a little hesitant to be like, hey, yeah, spirits are writing your name on the wall. What's going on? But then I got this like pull on my cord to where it like just twisted something in my stomach. And I got a vision, which is so, so rare for me. I'm not somebody who gets visions, but I got a vision. I was on this very specific road. It was clear as day. It's a road I had been on before. I knew the buildings all around at this intersection. And on the north right side of this intersection, there was like this big like glowing thing of like, don't go here, like a big old red X type of feeling, like don't go here. And I looked at the street sign and I was like, oh yeah, it's this intersection. And I just got the worst feeling that my brother was going to go there and he was going to die. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my mediumship isn't always pretty. I sometimes get really dark things. This was one of them. And of course, I was like, do I tell my brother he's going to die or do I just not say anything? And if it happens, then I'll just feel guilty for the rest of my life.
This was a very panicked moment too. Yeah. Like you were under a lot of distress in this moment. Like, what do I do?
Yeah, because I mean, it's weird. I had just very casually started talking about my mediumship with him. And like I said, he was sending some stuff my way, you know, really testing the waters with it. And it was a new thing for us to understand. So I felt weird bringing it up again and being like, hey, I really got a feeling you should not be here. Anyways, I was like, if I don't call, I'm going to regret it. Like, I'd rather look stupid than not call.
Mm-hmm.
So I called. He didn't pick up. And I told him, I was like, hey, I see that you're going to be at this intersection. Don't go here tonight. I was like, whatever your plans are, cancel them. I said, if you cannot cancel your plans, I was like, avoid this specific intersection. And he didn't pick up. And I was just hoping he heard my voicemail. So the next day came and I got a phone call from him. And he's like, how'd you know I was going to be there last night? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, that place you're talking about on the north right side of that intersection. He's like, that's a bar I was going to. He was like, all of my friends were driving up in the direction you've seen. He's like, I just didn't feel well last night. I went to bed early and I canceled on them last minute. He's like, they all got in a car crash right there on the corner on their way to the bar. He's like, and I would have been there. And they got T-boned on the left side of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have been sitting in the left back. That's where he sat in their friend's car. And that's where it got hit. Luckily, none of his friends were injured. But that side of the car was completely crushed in and it needed totaled to where if he was sitting there, he would have been absolutely injured.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, that's pretty cool. I was like, that's not pretty cool. I was panicked all night. Like, hi.
You didn't answer.
I've been panicking. I thought maybe you went and did something horrible. So after that, I started looking into what these cords were, and they're called cords. A lot of people experience them as these silvery things that come from you, and you can actually cut them. There are cord cutting rituals. There are several types of them. So I read a few different rituals of how you can cut them, and ultimately I decided I wanted to cut mine. I didn't want to have psychic connections to anybody, only because, you know, mediumship, I understand, is something that can be really, really cool, and I absolutely love at times.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some things that I have gotten information on that I really wish I didn't have information on.
Right.
Sometimes I do want to be normal. Sometimes I do not want to be forewarned, you know, especially when it comes to family, and a few of these strings were to people I didn't want to feel anymore. I decided to cut all my strings, and I did. And it feels so much better now. Honestly, like, mental health-wise, psychic-wise, everything, I feel so much better since I cut cords.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean I have to stop talking to any of those people or anything like that. It just means that I don't have that psychic connection to where I know what they're doing at all times, because it got a little annoying for them and for me. So
yeah, you seemed more cheerful afterwards. You were a lot more, it seemed like you were feeling lighter and just kind of able to breathe for once.
Yeah, I definitely felt better. So if you guys do, I know a lot of you asked when I originally started talking about strings, if you do have that experience, there is definitely ways you can remove those. So yeah, I felt better. So that's what happened with that. And then, around the house, and no matter where I went, there was just dead birds everywhere. This was a reoccurring theme in my life. It just kept happening. There was just dead birds, dead baby birds everywhere. And it just started to be this trend of, like, everywhere I went, there was dead birds. And I know it's like, oh, well, if you start looking for something, you're going to see more of it. But
it was more than that.
This was
excessive.
Yeah, it was extreme, to where people I hadn't even told about dead birds started bringing it up to me. And they're like, there are dead birds everywhere you go. And really? I hadn't noticed. Oh, but everybody around me started noticing. They're like, what is it with you and these dead birds? And then one day I gave a reading for a spirit. And I came home, and it was the first time I had given a reading. Robert is just sitting here shaking his head. It was the first time I had given a reading in a while. I was on one of my trends of like, I don't want to give messages. And anyways, I ended up giving a reading to somebody who was wanting one. I come home, and in front of our door is a dead bird, and only its head was exposed, to where it was just the bird's skull, mm-hmm. but the rest of it was still feathered. I have a picture of it. Mm-hmm. I will find it and put it on Patreon. And it was just the final straw, to where I'm like, okay, this is not a coincidence. Something left a dead bird on our doorstep. Mm-hmm. And we have security cameras. So I checked the security cameras, and I'm like, who the heck is playing this prank on me? Mm-hmm. Who came up to put this bird directly in front of my front door? It was like a package. It was just set there perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what to do. So we got it with a shovel.
Yeah, like, we picked it up and took it out back and buried it.
Yeah.
And then thought that would just be it. Figured maybe like a neighborhood cat came by and dropped it off. It was just like a...
Yeah.
Passing through for some reason and just happened to drop it on our doorstep. Whatever.
Dropping on our doorstep dead with its skull completely peeled.
Yeah, like it just only liked the head meat. I don't know. Like that was it. That was like, and so we just kind of like buried it and tried to move on.
Yeah, we buried it in the backyard. We had like a little moment for it. And the next day... We look in the backyard and something dug up the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And it... The bird had no meat on it. It was completely rotted. Like, mm-hmm. while it had feathers, there was no stench.
Mm-mm.
There was nothing that would have given... There was no reason for an animal to dig it up, because mm-hmm. there was nothing they would get off of the bird. So we're looking at this huge hole that had been unburied of this bird skeleton. And I'm looking in the yard, and we have photo evidence of this. There are lions' feet prints in the mud of our backyard. Lion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lion. It is not a dog. We had it looked at.
Not a coyote.
Like, it is a big lion's. It is a big cat footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And the footprint was about the size of my hand. Not my palm. My hand.
Mm-hmm.
What? We live in a neighborhood. Like, There are not big cats that are supposed to be in this area.
And right, and I mean, I buried it pretty deep too. Like, yeah. I believe I made that comment to you. Like, I dug the hole at least, I want to say, like 3 or 4 feet deep, because I was like, I don't want anything digging this up and going through our backyard. Because I mean, we have like, there's possums that run around. There's raccoons event sometimes, and it's like, I don't want to get anything that's like gonna attract anything to come dig it up. So I buried it pretty deep.
I know.
And it was gone.
Yeah. It was weird. So of course we're like, oh, it must have been a mountain lion. That's the only thing it could be in this area.
Right.
There's no reports of any mountain lions being seen in this area ever.
No.
Like, they're not in this area. So we're like, well, they are now. So that was our only guess. Of course, nothing got picked up on security cameras, so we have no way of proving that it was a mountain lion.
And we have security cameras that point towards that spot.
Yeah.
And are motion activated.
Yeah.
And they're infrared, so they can see in the dark. If anything came through, we should have seen it.
Yeah, I have no clue. We sort of suggested to some neighbors, like, hey, be careful, there's a mountain lion walking around our backyards. And they were like, no, there's not. You guys aren't from around here. Like, there are not mountain lions here. Calm down. And that's kind of really where it got left, is no one really knew how or why there could be a mountain lion potentially in this area. And while they were big cat prints, I mean, there's no other logical
explanation
or reason. So that was really weird. And then some time had passed, and I was taking a bath, which is one of my psychic moments. I when I'm in water, it seems that everything sort of comes clear. And I seen the little lion thing walk by our bathroom door. And I, at this point, it had been, I'd say, at least a year. Even more since I had last seen the little lion entity in our house. And so at this point, I've gotten a lot more comfortable with mediumship. And I'm like, hey, like, what are you? What are you? And I am blatantly asking, because at this point, I know if I ask, I'll get a response. And I know it felt so silly that I never knew I could ask questions. And I know I said this before, I didn't until that one circle, which was honestly one of the best experiences of my life, even though I got kicked out. It was absolutely fantastic. It was a wonderful time and experience, because I am still grateful, even though that woman kicked me out. She was the first one to tell me, yes, you can get the information. Just ask. Just ask. And as dumb as that may sound, I never put it together that I was also in control of communication.
Right.
They were able to communicate with me, but I was also able to communicate with them. And that's something I never considered before.
It goes both ways.
Yeah. And I mean, I just was so in fear of everything that I didn't want to ask questions. I seen it and I'm like, whoa, why are you here? Go away. Like, don't tell me why you're here. Just go, leave. Ah, like, and it's like, no, I have the ability to ask. So, of course, this little lion thing walks by and I'm like, oh, my God, who are you? And I very clearly get a name in my head. And the name in my head that comes through came through in a voice. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know that voice. It's Mr. Growly voice. And at that moment, everything became clear. Mr. Growly voice was the lion. And the lion had always been there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my gosh. I seen a lion in middle school. There was a lion entity that was with me in my haunted ass middle school. And I thought back before that and I was like, oh my gosh, I had seen that weird lion shadow on my forehead, and every, you know, medium was picking up this lion entity around me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, Mr. Growly Voice, this is your name. And the name he gave me, I Googled it. And the meaning of the name was so freaking spot on the nose. He's a very specific entity. I don't think he would like if I shared his name, so I'm not going to. But his name was just, oh, it was perfect. I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. This is the meaning of your name, you little man. And this is the moment I was like, oh my God, I think I might have a spirit guide. Mm-hmm. And I never believed them to be true. Everybody talked about, oh, I have spirit guides and they're amazing and they're this and they're that and they help you. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't have that crap. I've never had any spirit be like, I'm your guide. And then it clicked and I was like, oh my gosh, I have a spirit guide and he is a freaking lion.
Yeah.
And the dead birds, like a cat, brings gifts. Every time I did mediumship, there was a dead bird at the end.
A little trophy.
Yes. Like a good job, stay on track. And I was like, oh my goodness, the dead birds, seeing them isn't like this scary death omen. I'm like, the birds are a sign that I'm doing something right.
Right.
So now when I see dead birds, I'm like, yeah. But for real though, like when one shows up on our doorstep, yeah, I take it with, you know, a lot of gratitude, mm-hmm, and thankfulness. And it really changed my perspective on how you see the world. A lot of people are like, oh, these are bad omens, or blackbirds are bad omens, or this is a bad omen, or a black dog's a bad omen. It doesn't need to be a bad omen unless you want it to be. Like, dead birds online, when I was looking them up, when I was running into, somebody's going to die in your family. Somebody's going to die. This is a death omen. And no, it wasn't. It was my spirit guide giving me a pat on the back in, yeah, the most cat-like, ironic way it could have. Like, good job, birdie. Here's a dead bird. Goodness gracious. So, yeah, it was really cool. He doesn't hang around all the time. The last time I seen him was right before episode 3 of our season. And that's the last time I've seen him. And I probably won't see him again until I'm in an episode 3 type of situation. So, yeah, he doesn't stay around all the time. But I got so curious because I thought, is he a spirit guide? And why is he an animal? Like, how does that work? Is he a different entity masking itself as an animal? Is he really a lion? Like, why would a lion talk? This doesn't really make sense. So I wanted to understand more about who he was and where he came from. And some of the information he had was very, very, very odd with signs and symbols I was putting together in my life. It just kind of fit right in. I had ended up doing a past life regression. I very vividly remember one of my past lives, which I'm not going to share, but it was in a time that correlated to all of this. All of this all correlated to this one very specific time period, mm-hmm, which I think was my first human life on Earth.
Right.
Without getting too much into the woo-woo side of, mm-hmm, this, you know, because then you start going into like aliens and were you an alien and all this sort of weird stuff. So we'll leave that out. My first human life, I have a time period, and I think that's where my buddy came from. But during this regression, I will say real quick to sort of sidetrack, I very, very vividly remember the day I was born. And I remember being in the delivery room and I was watching myself be born, and there was two men in black suits on each side of me, and I was cussing them out, and I was like, I am not doing this. I'm not doing this. I am not doing this. And I was very unhappy. And they're like, listen, you told us no matter what, you got to do this. And I was like, I know, but I don't want to. It was this huge thing. It was very strange. And then I jumped into this little tiny baby body in front of me. And that's what happened. Oddly enough, I had no idea that I had actually died. Well, I was born, and that's what I seen in the regression, is my little baby body was like dead, and then I popped in, and then that's where, you know, my life begins. What's really weird is I found out a few years after that regression that I did die.
Mm-hmm.
And the positioning and everything I had seen in that regression, I explained it to my mom. And she was like, that's exactly the colors of this. That's exactly where everything was. That's where the doctor was standing. That's where I was. That's the way the bed was positioned. That's where this machine was. That's mm-hmm. where that machine was. That's what side they put you on. So it was very, very, very odd. Very freaky.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the rest of that regression connected to this little spirit guide. And I wanted to learn more. So I seen that there was this course being taught on animal spirit guides. And I was so intrigued because I had never heard of an animal spirit guide. I thought they could only be human. So I signed up for the course and I drove to this place so I could go in person. And here's what happened. What do you think's going to happen, Robert?
Oh, I think it's going to be super peaceful and you're going to have a great time and you're going to learn a whole lot from this person and you're going to be thankful you went.
Well, it wasn't a circle, so I was hopeful. And the person who was running the course was friends with a few of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew of them through, you know, word of mouth. So I was pretty excited. I had heard very good things. And I get there and everybody's like not talking in class. And anyways, they start presenting and they go through like, this is the sign of a spirit guide. And this is the sign of an animal spirit guide. And she's like, it was like a form of your own consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So I raised my hand and she's like, oh, yeah. And I asked, I was like, if you think an animal spirit guide is a form of your own consciousness, I was like, does that mean it's just a projection of myself? I was like, or do you think that they could be different entities? Because I really believe that he is his own entity. I don't think we're related in any way mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the presenter that, and they got sort of upset and a little flustered, and they're like, no, they're their own entity. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I would agree. I was like, because I have an animal spirit guide. I was like, and I would agree they're their own entity. I was like, but you said they were a form of your own consciousness. I was like, so I was just trying to figure that out. And they're like, oh, I misspoke.
Speak clearer.
No, no. It was all fine.
Yeah.
I think I caught him off guard, and then everybody else in the class like sort of straightened up and just stared at me, and I'm like, oh crap. Like, Birdie, you're doing it again.
Shut up.
I'm like, why do I keep doing this? Like, I really don't mean to. But then like the presenter brushed it off, and I was like, okay. I was like, I was the first question. I caught him off guard. So we continue, and they were talking about like how they speak to you. And I raised my hand again and I was like, can I ask you a question? And of course they're like, yeah, of course. So everything was good. And I was like, well, I said, I know you said they can talk to you, I was like, but would you hear them in your own voice, or are you hearing them in a different voice? Because I've heard spirits pretty much always in my own voice, aside from this one. This one has his own distinct voice. Mr. Growly is so, is such a distinct voice that I've never heard before. And the presenter was like, well, what do you think? And I was like, oh, I know mine has his own voice. And she's like, yeah, they have their own voice. And so I was like, okay, cool. All right. Anyways, the class went on and this person was talking about their animal spirit guide. And I was so elated. They actually recommended Animals Speak by Ted Andrews for more reading, which I have the book and I've read a lot of, not all of it because I have a problem with finishing books, but still.
It's called time. That problem is called time.
Still, that's a book they recommended. And after the class, I was like, I can't wait to ask more questions. So I sort of hung back, let everybody else ask questions. And then when they were alone, I went up and I was like, hey, I actually have a question about animal spirit guides. I was like, I actually started communicating with mine a few years back, but I can't like choose when I talk to them. I was like, is there a way I could like choose when I talk to them? And she's like, let me just show you the way out. And she walked me to the front door, opened it for me, and she's like, bye, have a good one. And I just said thank you. And I left.
I wasn't here for this. You're so anti-confrontational. I've been like, what?
Well, I came home. When I came home, I told you on the way home, I called you and I was like, baby, I got kicked out again.
Again?
So why do you think that happened?
What, you got kicked out?
Yeah.
I have many theories. I think sometimes people, I don't know if it's one of those things where it's like people are untrusting. So they're like, who are you and why are you asking such specific, like, high level questions?
They're not high level.
Well, I mean, like, based on the topics that were had, it's like these were things that were diving deeper into the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. And it almost, from what was described to me, it almost sounded like either she was just not super knowing how to answer you and got a little bit frustrated and like didn't want to seem unknowledgeable.
I think so too.
And then at the same time, you do have this thing where people are like, who the hell are you and who invited you?
I know. Ugh.
Because they're like, who are you and why are you pretending to be a student here?
Yeah, I definitely think I asked the wrong questions, but because I do think I asked questions that she wasn't expecting to hear. And
or I even knew the answer to.
Yeah, I think I just caught her off guard in front of a group of people. And it's okay. Like, I was totally okay if she did not know the answers. That would have been fine. I just think perhaps I asked too many specifics.
Still came across a little rude to just escort you out.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, I'm not sure. Let me give you some resources.
I was really surprised I got escorted out. I felt really bad. It made me feel bad. That was the last time. That was the last time I've gone anywhere. I have not attempted to join any groups or anything since then. I was like, I am alone. Medium.
I walk this path alone, with Robert standing in front of me,
holding my hand. Right. No, yeah, that was a little disheartening, but I loved it because I knew that animal spirit guides were real, and that's what mine was. And after that, you know, everything sort of just kept falling in place. There was just spirits that came and it made sense. If I gave a house reading, it went well. Nothing was really out of the ordinary. And everything started going really well. When COVID started, I stopped giving readings since we are highly susceptible to being sick, especially, well, I guess both of us. So it definitely changed the way we have to interact with people. So after that, I stopped doing a lot of readings because I absolutely do not want to get either of us sick.
Safety.
Yeah, we're both high riskers, but I stopped doing a lot of mediumship and things started getting shaky again. Things, you know, started moving around the house. There was one night that I got really upset and I yelled and light bulbs fell from the ceiling.
So many light bulbs we go through.
This one literally fell from the ceiling.
Yeah, it was the hall light and it literally like the nail came out of its box that was securing it to a joist and it fell and hung by just the wires in the hallway
with nothing else around.
It was very, very obnoxious
at the same time that I yelled.
Yeah,
so I tried not to yell anymore because whenever I do, something obscene breaks.
Or just blows up or something.
I know. So it started getting a little bit more violent, the energy. And that's when I started this podcast. And throughout the podcast, the only major thing that's really happened was our encounter with that cryptid, Wendigo. And yeah, that was, I think, the most insane thing that's happened during the podcast.
Yeah, it's like we've had a couple of house clearings that we've done where that just be cleansing out something that was passing through and got stuck, or just weird vibes, weird energy flow in the house, gotta get that out.
yeah so cleansing doesn't even need to be because of a spirit. It can be because of your own funk, which sometimes you might funk up your own house. But ultimately, I know a lot of you have been like, oh no, how did it work out with your parents? How did it work out with your friends? Everything's good. It all worked out. There was some shaky times in the beginning that, you know, we didn't know how to handle it, or, you know, a lot of people were really into it and while trying to be supportive ended up not being supportive. So it was a fine tuning thing to where, you know, don't ask me to give you a reading and don't tell me about spirits without a heads up, because if people start telling me about spirits, I'll just automatically start opening up and that can have detrimental effects if I'm not ready. So yeah, it was a little bit of a learning process for myself and friends and family, but I think everybody's pretty much got it now. And my parents were pretty much, they say they believed me, but, you know, I think they were on the fence until they had some activity happening in their house. And my dad actually seen a Pukwudgie. And he had no idea what that was. But I had told him, I was like, dude, Google this. That's exactly what you're seeing. And they had a string of activity. And I told them, you know, to leave it out an offering of some strawberries, something sweet. And they did. My parents left an offering. My parents left an offering. That is a big, big, big step on their part. And yeah, it went away. And then they asked what else was in the house. And I was like, you really want me to tell you? And they said yes, so I gave them a reading on what was in their house, and it was a spirit attached to them that I had no way of knowing ever existed. I got a name, date, everything of that particular spirit that I had no idea ever existed, and freaked my parents out quite a bit. And do you remember my dad's like, what? Did you say... what?
Yeah.
Did you say what? And he actually hung up the phone. He's like, I have to call you back. And him and my mom talked for a bit, and then they called us back and they're like, tell us more. So yeah, after that, I think they're completely 100% on board. And all is well. Spirits still are all around all the time. But it's not a big deal anymore. It's become very, very normal. And a lot of the times, it's all good. And you'll see in our episodes that a lot of the times, it's really happy and all good. There are some times that I still get shaken. Mm-hmm. I'm not fearless. I definitely am still learning and still growing as a medium, and I don't think that will ever stop.
I'm fearless. I'm a rock.
Shut up. This is a serious thing, and you just say that.
No, you've gotten a lot better with fear and everything. I think you are better at staring things in the face and just taking them for what they are.
Yeah, and it's a lot. It's also a lot different when I'm doing a house reading or a private case, and I absolutely know that I'm walking into something darker, mm-hmm. versus like this episode 3 where I had no expectations of anything dark ever being encountered on these episodes, and I got taken off guard.
To be fair, I didn't know there was anything dark either until we got there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So I really just want to say that sharing my story has absolutely changed my life. This podcast has changed my life. I was completely done with mediumship when I started this podcast. I was in a mindset of, this is my bartering with spirit. I will tell my story, and by the time I finish it, that will be it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call it quits. I'm going to be done being a medium. I don't want anything to do with it. And they're going to have to accept it. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that at the start of this, with all of your support and your guys' love and comments and really letting me into this community, I feel like for the first time, I feel accepted. And I am so glad that you all were here and were just listening and everything, because, oh, I'm getting emotional. I would have never ever had like the guts to be able to face this head on like we did with the episodes if it wasn't for you guys.
So thank you all for showing so much love to both Birdie and myself, and helping Birdie express her story and my story, and just kind of let us tell our experiences and what we've learned throughout the years.
Yeah, it's been an honor. And while the stories are over, the podcast will continue. So we will continue on with some paranormal topics. And of course, we will be sharing special episodes of our investigation episodes, so behind the scenes and Q&A's of those. So there's another episode releasing in just a few days where we're going to talk about episode 1, and then we will absolutely have an after the show chat that we will talk about too, which you'll hear more in the next episode. But for now, I just want to give you all a big hug and just say thank you for being really awesome humans, and you guys mean more to me than I think I can ever convey
to both of us.
So thank you for listening to the Spirit Diaries.